You're on KCSB 91.9 FM, Santa Barbara. Welcome to Radio Causeway. I'm Pav.
I'm Tim. This is your weekly showcase, bringing you timely interviews and bridging your world of music. The book has been deemed a crash course on the most dynamic marketing platform today. Lori Thomas, author of the new book, The McGraw-Hill 36-Hour Course Online Marketing, is with us in studio to discuss her book and the wild world of web marketing.
And later in the hour, we've got our Yeah! Free Music pick, strange news, and a selection of new releases. Stay tuned.
Good morning. You're on KCSB FM 91.9 in Santa Barbara and streaming live at kcsb.org. This is Radio Causeway. I'm Tim.
And this is Pav.
It's the season premiere of Radio Causeway. Mm-hmm. They brought us back for another season, kept us in place, 9 o'clock Tuesdays. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We got a great show for you today. Savvy web marketing comes from sound strategy, continual optimization, tracking, and creativity, says the web marketing therapist, Lori Thomas. And she's with us today to talk about her new book, The McGraw-Hill 36-Hour Course Online Marketing. Lori Thomas, welcome to Radio Causeway.
Thanks, Tim. Hi, Pav.
It's great to have you. So I wanted to start off, it's an online marketing book. Is the audience, who's the intended audience? Is it businesses? Is it individuals? How does it work?
I wrote this book specifically for students, for anyone who is engaged in lifelong learning. It could be a business owner. It could be someone looking to get into the online marketing field, and the careers there are just endless. Anyone, it could be for marketing managers. Really, it's a book to help guide and create new ideas, no matter where you're at in the process.
Yeah, there was, in fact, maybe this is jumping a little ahead into the details of the book, but there were some ways in which obviously it's geared to people who are doing marketing, but it applies to people on a wider field. I mean, even someone seeking employment could benefit from some of these tips.
Absolutely. Marketing means making relationships. So we are all marketers in some way, shape, or form, whether we're a student at UCSB looking to eventually market ourselves to get that job out of school, or we're a marketing professional looking to build our business, or an entrepreneur or a business, large or small, that's looking to make connections with people. Online marketing is a brilliant way to do that.
Well, you, in your book, you talk about some of the pitfalls of online marketing. So if people getting started, I'm sure it's overwhelming for people. How do I go about this? Do I do a website first, or a Facebook, social networking? I don't know, Twitter?
That's where the marketing therapy comes in. We do the, oh, okay, take a deep breath and relax. Education is everything. And you know, having a backbone to understand and start to look at the various opportunities. I use the analogy of baking your marketing cake in order. So folks that go out and buy a bunch of online advertising, but their website is horribly underserving them. Maybe it's not designed professionally, or doesn't have the right messaging or the right call to actions, like buy now or whatever. I always encourage people to think of web marketing or online marketing just like as we would think of our health, right? You know, we don't layer on a bunch of makeup. We want to take care of our skin first, right? So what we do is, if we're baking that marketing cake, we got to put the eggs in and put the sugar in before we put it in the oven. So it's just taking logical steps, and understanding how is just understanding the various options. And the more educated we get, the less overwhelm.
Are there ways in which online marketing is different from, I mean, traditional forms of marketing?
Well, it's cooler. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I don't want to knock traditional marketing. There's always going to be a place for that. And there, the online marketing world has borrowed, or aka stolen, so much from traditional marketing, down to the nomenclature, to the philosophies. What I love about online marketing is the distinctions. It's 24/7. It's extremely trackable. It's flexible. It's interactive. And we have that two-way conversation going. So let's say you post a blog post and you're a brand, large brand or small business. You can get feedback. You can look at numbers. You can see what keywords and phrases people type in to find you on the web. And just the accessibility. And my favorite part of online marketing is the lack of elitism. You don't have to have a big budget. You just need to have a brain. And then you're set.
That's a big if sometimes. you wrote in the book, in regards to web analytics, you say that a website without analytics is like a stand-up comedian who doesn't listen to hear if the audience is laughing. Can you talk a little bit about the analytics? Because I think you were referring to it right there. You can see what people are looking at and what they're interested in. But not all sites employ these, right?
Sure. And great ideas are only great if they're executed brilliantly. And I use the analogy in the book of you create an idea, you execute the idea. And great ideas in our brain are nothing until we actually do something with them. But the most important piece of the puzzle is to monitor. So you create, you execute, you monitor, and then you rinse, repeat. It's an ongoing cycle. And, you know, let's say you launch a blog and you start blogging about recipes or music or whatever it is. And you, if you don't monitor what blog posts are the most frequently read, or you don't monitor if you're doing search engine optimization, meaning getting your site found higher in the search engines, and you're not monitoring what's working, then you're going to be wasting your time and energy and potentially money. So it's just taking advantage of the analytics. And there's a great free technology called Google Analytics that anyone can sign up for and put the code on the code of the website or the blog that they own. And you can have instant accessibility to data at your fingertips. It's amazing.
You talk about that in the book is kind of the investment in doing online marketing. But it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. And there's a lot of free tools out there. You just mentioned one, but can you talk a little bit more about finding the free tools that do a lot of the work for you?
Sure. We love the F word in online marketing. That's free. don't bleep me out here on the air. There is so much accessibility. Facebook business pages are free. Twitter is free. There's a lot of blog platforms like Blogger or WordPress that are free. In the book, I mention tons of free resources, even down to free sites you can submit your press releases to. The World Wide Web is so accessible to everyone, you know, whether we're new to the field or seasoned experts. So yeah, Google Analytics is free, blog technology, social media is usually the most accessible, and the masses are on Facebook. So if you want to sell to the masses and live with the classes, you may want to consider being where your people are. So yeah, the ability for us to tap these tools without having to be HTML web experts like we had to be 10, 15 years ago is rather remarkable, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, if you're just tuning in, you're on Radio Causeway, and we are in studio with Lori Thomas. The book has been deemed a crash course on the most dynamic marketing platform today. Lori Thomas is the author of the new book, The McGraw-Hill 36-Hour Course Online Marketing. We're going to take a quick song break, and we'll be back more with Lori Thomas. The song we got queued up right now is from Headlights. It's Market Girl, the album Leaf remix. You're on Radio Causeway.
Hey, this is Joni Mendenhall, and you are listening to Radio Causeway with Pav and Tim on KCSB 91.9 FM Santa Barbara. Candy apples.
Welcome back to Radio Causeway. I'm Tim.
This is Pav.
You just heard a track right there from Headlights off their Remixes album, Market Girl, the album Leaf remix. Speaking of market, savvy web marketing comes from sound strategy, continual optimization, tracking, and creativity, says the marketing therapist, Lori Thomas. And she's with us today to talk about her new book, The McGraw-Hill 36-Hour Course Online Marketing. Lori Thomas, welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, just before the break, you referred to the masses being on Facebook. And I can't help but think about how many of my friends don't use MySpace anymore. So when we're thinking about social media in terms of marketing, and it seems a possible pitfall is not being hip enough. How do you, like, catching onto social media that have short lifespans? So how do you navigate that kind of minefield?
Yeah, there's always going to be a trend factor when it comes to online marketing. And, you know, MySpace was huge. And there still is a place for MySpace, especially, I think, for musicians and folks like that. But, yeah, when it comes to Facebook, I still hear from, especially from a more mature audience, is, oh, you know, Facebook is just a fad. And, you know, I have to smile because I've been watching the numbers year after year. And, I mean, think about it. We've created our profiles. Our friends are stored in there. Our photos are stored in there. I think there's a huge connection to that specific technology. But, you know, there wasn't a Twitter, you know, option for us 5 years ago, and things like that do pop up. It's just a matter of having an open mind and being, you know, willing to at least observe for a while. We don't have to jump into all of these new technologies, but we can always observe them from afar. You can kind of date first before you get married.
You talk about in your book having a team working with you doing online marketing. Doing it alone is ultimately probably not going to work out very well. Can you talk about collaboration in the online marketing world?
Yeah, absolutely. Collaboration is everything. There is no I in the phrase team, T-E-A-M. And as a small business owner, I've definitely learned that sometimes through the school of hard knocks, that we do require other people. And that can happen either through hiring people. It could be having interns. It could be just through going to different communities online. I mean, I can't tell you how many folks are part of my Wild Web Woman community on LinkedIn. And these are women and men I've never met. And we're asking each other questions. We're helping each other out, all in the true name of social media, which is collaboration. So when we have that team, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to have a budget. It just means that we need to be willing to do the simple act of asking for help.
Speaking of collaboration, I mean, nicely kind of brings up the idea of relationships, which you stress throughout your book, and using web marketing to build relationships. What exactly do you mean by relationships, and how do we foster these relationships?
I'm talking about love. You know, that's, you know, it's funny. I get you know, deemed as a she geek, or you know, as a wild web woman, but at the end of the day, I'm a relationship expert. I listen, I understand, I find ways to communicate with people and educate them, and do that for clients and teach students how to do that. And it's really all about maximizing relationships. We need to get people to know about us through awareness. We need to communicate with them, educate them, distribute information. We need to connect with them, whether it's, oh, you like hockey? I like hockey. Okay, touchy, sloppy, you know, love going on right there. There's customer service, often the most often overlooked piece of the marketing puzzle, is how do we serve people? And then last but not least, marketing does need to support sales, and sales can come from a lot of different options. You know, it could be a lead, it could be an upsell, it could be a resell, it could be a donation if you're a nonprofit. So relationships are really the heart of all of marketing.
In your book, you write about the five key components to effective marketing: one being awareness, two, communication and information distribution, three, connection, four, service, and five, sales. How do those things work together?
They all support each other and play off of each other. And that helps bring a marketer, whether it's a student or a professional, looking at, okay, how do I start to put my marketing puzzle together? And, you know, we can have the best product or service in the world, and if nobody knows about us, what's the point? That's awareness. Communication or information distribution is simply educating someone. We could have a new product that people may need, but they don't know they need it yet. Well, that comes through blog posts or good website copy or a PDF that you may hand out to someone or a podcast that you're educating people through. The connection piece is really the nucleus of marketing. And that could come from the about page. What's your story? How did you get into doing what you're doing? You know, and that, you know, really creating that connection, that could come from Facebook, from social media. The customer service part, which is probably my most favorite piece of the marketing puzzle, is, do we need a frequently asked questions page on the website? Is our phone number easy to find? Is, you know, the information we're, you know, needing to get to people great? There's a company here in town called Sonos. They have a great speaker system, and they use Twitter a lot for customer service questions. I mean, that's a great example of online marketing. And then, of course, sales. And that's hard for some people. Sometimes people think sales and marketing are two separate beasts, and they're really not. We need to look at marketing as a way to support sales, but not in a like cheesy used car salesman way where it's like, hey, want to buy my product? It's like, hey, again, date first before you get married. We need to build the know, like, and trust factors. People need to know us, like us, and trust us. And that comes from all of those steps that you just clarified.
So one of the things that I think most people are well aware of is spam. And can we talk a little bit about the differences between an email marketing campaign and spam, and where someone getting started could go wrong and end up in the evil twin spam category?
Yes. Spam still happens, sadly. And I'll start by saying a business card is not an invitation to add someone to your newsletter list. An opt-in, which means someone is saying, yes, I would like to receive your newsletter. Yes, I would like to receive updates. The only time it's not spam is if someone buys your product and let's say there's a warranty recall or some sort of real informative transactional kind of thing that's relevant. That's not spam. But you do need to have clear privacy policies about how you use people's personally identifiable information. Privacy policies are the least sexy part of online marketing, but critical. But going back to email and building a quality list, we always want to use a third-party email technology, whether it's something like Constant Contact that has a free 60-day trial, or My Emma, or Vertical Response. I mean, there's a lot of different email technologies out there. But I see a lot of folks, and I meet people through conferences or students who say, oh, I just put all my names in the BCC field. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what could happen is the ISPs, the internet service providers, can get wind of you sending large quantity emails and they can flag you as a spammer. I've seen organizations who've shut their entire company's email system down because you've got someone in marketing trying to do a good job and get an email announcement out and they're doing it kind of ignorantly. So it's just a matter of building a quality list, and quality versus quantity. You'd rather have 20 names of people saying, yes, I'd like to receive information from you, versus 2,500 of people that are like, who are you? I didn't get this. And that can actually kill your brand and your reputation.
You know, you've spoken about the internet as a wild, wild west, and getting to, I mean, we're starting to broach like the kind of legal kind of factors that impact marketing. And the FCC is, within the last year, I believe, started governing how bloggers can, or what bloggers need to reveal in terms of when they're writing about particular products. Do you see more governance coming into marketing and the internet?
I do. The wild, wild west, or the wild, wild web is, you know, there are still, it's still uncharted territory, and there's not as many rules as maybe some industries. But we are creating guidelines, you know, things like spam, you know, to make sure we're protecting the unsolicited messages out there. Yes, and the Federal Trade Commission kind of cracking down on bloggers. Just to clarify what that was all about, it was bloggers, like let's say it was a mommy blogger saying, I love the blah, blah, blah stroller. It's the best thing I've ever pushed my kid down the street in. The FTC was saying that they wanted to make sure that any blogger was being completely transparent if they were being compensated either monetarily or through trade or through gifting. Just because, and there was a huge outpour and, you know, a lot of bloggers saying it was so unfair that people in magazines and traditional journalists, you know, were getting compensated that way and they didn't have to disclose it and, you know, just unfair for the web world. But what I liked about the new guidelines is that it really keeps the integrity of the content high. And if I'm reading some blog, whether it's a mommy blog or a student blog or a technology blog about buy this new gizmo, I would like to know if someone received the product for free, or even if the blogger says, you know, XYZ company sent me something and I've been able to try it out for the last couple of weeks. That's authentic. You know, that just helps build trust. So I feel that although some bloggers kind of, you know, put on their preschool hat and were like, it's not fair, I still think that it keeps the integrity of the content high on the web.
Well, if you're getting started, where should a small business get started? Should they get started with a social network? Should they get started with their own website? Should they get started with a Twitter feed? How do they?
Going back to the wild, wild web, there's, you know, every organization's different. I've met folks through conferences and classes where all they have is a Facebook page. They don't even have a website. What I like to start with is Marketing 101. And I have a whole questionnaire that I walk folks through in the book that helps them understand who they are, what they do, whom they serve. I cannot tell you how many people can tell you that verbally, but then when you go to their website or their blog or their Facebook page, it's not totally clear. So I bring people back to the heart of marketing, and that's the communication part of it and the connection part of it, really getting the messaging clear. You know, if you don't have a logo, you need a logo. If you don't have at least some sort of web page, I'd probably advise, even if it's a one page, just kind of we're out here, kind of fake it till you make it kind of thing, just to have a presence. And then we start with that. And then, you know, and a lot of folks who read the book or take courses through with me, they have websites, they have Facebook pages, and they're kind of like, I don't even know if I'm using them correctly. So going back to that create, execute, monitor pattern, you start to figure out what you need, what's working, what's not, how you can optimize things or add new technologies. But you know, definitely getting clear on the messaging is imperative to success.
I want to ask just how you got started personally in the work.
You know, I love this question. I don't have a degree in online marketing. I went to Santa Barbara City College. I was in the school of I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I was in management with Saks Fifth Avenue. I opened the store here in 1999. And I had a personal shopping client who said, wow, you're a really good salesperson, which just meant I knew how to do relationship building. And she said, you should drop out of college and quit your job in management at Saks and come work with me on the internet. And I turned the job down. I was like, I don't even own a personal computer. My first email account was at this job. I didn't ever have email or anything. So I was a, you know, techno-tard, pardon the phrase. But I got a call. She followed up again and said, drop out of college, quit your job, da-da-da. And I think I said something like, so I can wear jeans to work. I think that was like my big decision factor. And I ended up on the founding team of ValueClick Media, and they're one of the leading online advertising networks. I was 20 years old at the time. I dropped out of college. I was, it was, you know, in the dot-com heyday where a lot of us didn't go to college. I am really grateful that I was able to take my dot-com money. And when the company moved to Los Angeles, I stayed here and I went to Antioch University where I got my bachelor's degree and ended up getting my master's degree in organizational management. But I've had, you know, kind of school of hard knocks. I've gotten to where I am today through hard work, through having an open mind, through being humble and learning things. And it's been a really incredible journey, and having my own business, Web Marketing Therapy, now, and working with the team I work with and the clients I work with is really rewarding. Hard work pays off.
Can you tell us where you can find the book?
Absolutely. Amazon.com. It is at Chaucer's here in Santa Barbara. Definitely a great place to pick the book up.
I saw some signed copies there the other day.
There are some signed copies there, and you know, Borders has it. So McGraw-Hill does sell the book directly on the site. And actually, there's an exam you can take at the end of reading the book on the McGraw-Hill website that when you get a passing grade, you actually get a certificate in online marketing from McGraw-Hill, which is way coolio. Definitely good for the resume.
The book has been deemed a crash course on the most dynamic marketing platform today. Lori Thomas, author of the new book, The McGraw-Hill 36-Hour Course Online Marketing, has been with us today. Lori, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Got a song queued up. It's Internet Warrior from Oh No, Oh No. You're on Radio Causeway.
Listen to Radio Causeway with Bob and Tim, KCSB 91.9 FM.
Santa Barbara!
Welcome back to Radio Causeway. I'm Tim.
And this is Bob.
Just heard a song right there from Oh No, Oh No, Internet Warrior. Off the Internet Warrior EP. If you're just tuning in, you missed the interview with the web or the marketing therapist Lori Thomas. You can catch that at radiocauseway.org later in the day.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
It is time for the Mullet Strange News.
Strange news time. Get us kicked off. This coming from motherjones.com, Kate Shepard reported on Monday. Transocean, the owner of the Deepwater Horizon rig that exploded in April 2010, killing 11 crew members and unleashing nearly 5 million barrels of oil on the Gulf of Mexico, is back in the news amid public outrage that the company awarded massive bonuses to its staffers last year for the company's, quote, safety. I think Charlie's got something.
Oh, good grief.
Citing 2010 as the best year in safety performance in the company's history.
Oh, good grief.
Transocean awarded 5 top executives $898,282 in bonuses for the year. Aye. According to its proxy statement, yeah, Colin Barr summed it up pretty well over at Fortune magazine. It's, quote, "It seems like it should be hard to qualify for a safety-related bonus in a year in which one of your rigs blows up, causing deaths and dozens of injuries," end quote.
No kidding!
Yeah.
If last year was their safest on record,
that's what I was thinking.
What does that mean?
Oh my goodness.
Like two rigs the year before?
And this is what I call a target-rich environment.
Yes, there are many targets in that story.
Now it's your turn.
Something a little bit more uplifting, perhaps.
You can throw me a curveball.
Oh,
it is baseball season.
It is?
Holy cow!
Yes, I guess I did catch that baseball had started. Last night I found that out. Preseason's over then.
Yes, it is.
Yep, that's what I thought. All right, this comes from, it's been reported many places, but this comes from the New York Times. Yale Law School, perhaps better known for competitiveness and its Supreme Court justices, has recently been in the news for introducing a peculiar new addition to their library collection.
Fascinating.
Yes. As part of a pilot program started last week, students are allowed to check out not only books, but Monty, a therapy dog.
Huh.
While the law school has been pretty tight-lipped on the run-up to the start of the program, they did distribute a memo to students outlining the basics. Monty would be available at the circulation desk to stressed-out students for 30 minutes at a time beginning last Monday for a 3-day trial run.
Yes!
Blair Kaufman, the law librarian, wrote in an email to students, "It is well documented that visits from therapy dogs have resulted in increased happiness, calmness, and overall emotional well-being, all of which is really important in a competitive environment, of course." Sebastian Sweat, 26 years old, a second-year student at the law school, said he had signed up for a session with a dog but does not necessarily think that it will relieve all the pressures that come with being a student at Yale. Mr. Sweat is not alone in his skepticism. Surprised to learn about the pilot program, Yale faculty member John Witt commented, "I've always found library books to be therapeutic, but maybe that's just me." Monty, according to the memo to students, is hypoallergenic and will be kept in non-public space inside the library, presumably away from those who don't much like dogs.
Could you do me a favor? Could you have a great day? Could you do that for me?
I think Monty will help people have that great day.
You know, I think Murderface will think the same.
How much do I owe you?
Half of nothing.
You mean it's free?
You feeling the love?
It's time for our Yeah! Free Music Pick of the Week. It's where we go and find music available for free and legal download and use in podcasts. This week, we've got a band out of Russia. The artist is Nandole. The song's off the release Inner. The track is Train Number 312. You're on Radio Causeway.
How much do I owe you?
Half of nothing.
You mean it's free?
You feeling the love?
Welcome back to Radio Causeway. This is Pav.
I'm Tim. You just heard our free music pick of the week. That was from Nandole out of Russia off the album Inner. The track Train 312. What do we got coming up next?
This is coming from Holy Ghost. There's an exclamation mark at the end of that. That's why I was so excited. The track is called Wait and See, and it's off their, well, their album that's released today from DFA Records. The album is called Holy Ghost. Same exclamation mark. Here's Wait and See.
You're on Radio Causeway.
The sound that goes around, cruising all up and down the highways and byways, under the tunnels and over the flyways, taking a little special trip today down a little something called the Radio Causeway. Sounds that lead the way each and every Tuesday with your boss DJs. You got Mr. Tim and Mr. Paul. Broadcasting from your number one station, your station from creation, 91.9 KCSB FM.
Welcome back to Radio Causeway. This is Mr. Pav.
Namaste.
And I'm Tim.
That was well done.
It was
not a radio sample.
You just heard a song right there from Jessica Lee Mayfield off her album Tell Me, the song Our Hearts Are Wrong.
And before that was the second single off of Austra's forthcoming album, Feel It Break. And that single is called Lose It, and that's out May 17th. And starting things off was Holy Ghost, Wait and See. That album is out today. And it's about that time. If you want to catch the show, or if you want to go back and find that RIT Sound show, you can find both of those on radiocausway.org or on kcsb.org. That's .org. And on iTunes as well. I see our man Seamus is limbering up in the corridor, getting ready for the next installment of
the Jazz and Blues Cruise.
I was waiting for you to chime in with me, Tim.
Gotcha. Special thanks to the marketing therapist, Lori Thomas, for talking with us today, and Darla B. Smith for helping out. Our theme music was produced by Forrest Seguin. Next week, we'll be in studio with Dr. Michael T. Bowers to discuss his research into a possible treatment for Alzheimer's and other plaque-related diseases. Thanks for listening.
Until then, be good.
Radio Causeway is a presentation of KCSB Public Affairs. The opinions expressed were those of the individual speakers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of KCSB, the Associated Students, or the Regents of the University of California.
If you have a comment or wish to respond, please address correspondence to KCSB University Center, Room 3185A, University of California, Santa Barbara, California, 93106. This is KCSB 91.9 FM, Santa Barbara.